Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 28, the fifth paragraph, in the following chapter through one paragraph ending no great obstacle to a spiritual experiencing. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, Kathy M., of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, will be Mary P. Readers of the text will be Luann C., Shelley E., and Tamara C. The reference number for Monday, July 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,533. That's 21533. And for this morning, Tuesday, July 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,535. That's 21535. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Kathy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovering compulsive overeater in Michigan, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service and enjoy the meeting.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. And I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 28, that fifth paragraph. In the following chapter, through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Luann C. to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Don, and everyone. Good morning, everyone doing service. I'm so grateful to get the chance to do it today. The reading is, in the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who once were in this class are now among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find that such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. So my name is Luann C. I'm gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho. And when I came into OA, I had a laissez-faire relationship with God. You know, he, she, it stayed up there, and I was down here face down in sheet cake. But when I got my intercession through this 12-step process, I was on my hands and knees, and I was completely bereft of any ideas. And I just asked whoever the possibility of a God was for what to do next. And I got directions for the next right thing, and that led to my recovery. And yesterday, I was back on my hands and knees emotionally, and all day I just went, not hour to hour even, I was one task to the next task, asking my higher power for the next right thing to do. And it was as remedial as go to the bathroom. Okay, what next? Go for a walk. Okay, what next? And all day I did that, and God enabled me to match calamity with serenity. And, you know, if you're an agnostic or an atheist, I welcome you. I admire your honesty because I know you're holding out for something real. And that was my one requirement for my higher power. It had to be real. And I can't say anything that can prove the power is here and is real. But if you're willing to go through this 12-step process, you can experience the power for yourself. And that was the proof I needed. So I'm so grateful to share. Thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Alex K.
Kara L.
Alex K. Kara L.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Julie P.
Julie P. And there was another voice in
Deb
there that I missed.
E.
Deb E. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Alex K., Kara L., Tamara C., Julie P., and Deb E. Alex K., please go ahead.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater. I've been given a reprieve for today. Well, the wonderful thing is this program can help anyone of any religion or of none, atheist, agnostic. It's possible still to have that vital spiritual experience that's essential for recovery. When I first came to program, I was a devout atheist. I didn't want to hear about God or religion or higher power or spirituality. I was completely closed-minded to the idea of a power greater than myself. I didn't want that, and I didn't think I needed that. And I felt really uncomfortable hearing people talk about God. I wondered if I could do the program because I didn't believe in God. I'm so grateful I kept coming back, and little by little, my closed mind opened up, and I learned that there are all kinds of higher powers and ways of relating, and we each can find the one that works best for us. No one's telling me I have to believe in a certain God in a certain way. If they had, then I probably wouldn't have come back. And one of the things I appreciate about program is that it's broad and inclusive. There's room for everyone. It's not one size fits all. Just like with the food plan, what works for me might not work for you and vice versa. And our concepts of our higher powers might be completely different, and that's okay as long as it works for us. And it's kind of been a long journey of discovery to find my higher power that I can rely on. And slowly and gradually this relationship developed. Now I have a strong connection with my higher power, who's a loving, compassionate spiritual presence always with me and helping me with everything. I've had lots of spiritual experiences and continue having them, from no longer compulsively eating and not wanting to hurt myself with food, not seeing that as my solution, to practicing gratitude, being kinder to myself, having better relationships, identifying my defects, making amends, just to name a few. I see evidence of my higher power in my life all the time, doing for me what I could never do for myself. I am being healed and transformed. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Kara L., it's your turn, followed by Tamara C.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. But today I'm in Oregon. It's so funny. When I first read this paragraph eons ago, I said, many who once were in this class are now among our members. And it was an agnostic class, right? And I said, well, I'm not agnostic. I believe in a power greater than myself, and, I should be fine. Even when I first looked at the first steps, I was like, got it, And it wasn't until I delved deeper into working the steps and to working into being in recovery that I realized that I might have this general belief and a power greater than myself, but I did not have at the time a personal belief or power greater than myself that would be interested in every single thing that I do. I still was taking over everything in my life and doing it how I saw fit according to my will. But I never even considered that I might invite in a power greater than myself. And when it came to the point when I said, well, maybe I should try this, and I did, and I started with small things, and I just started, if I had a thought that was difficult, I would say, God, please remove my character defect, and I would just move on. And then I started asking my higher power for opinions. What do you think, this or that? What should I have for breakfast? What should I wear today? I just started asking all those kinds of questions. And when those questions started being, you know, generally fulfilled, then I started walking farther down the road to trusting and asking for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And today, I realized that when things are hard and complicated and stressful, it's because I am the one who is being agnostic in that moment with that thing. And once I realized this through working the steps, through doing an inventory, through speaking with a fellow, through being on the meeting, and I say, wait a minute, I'm so worried about this, or I think this needs to go a certain way, I didn't ask for input. I was being agnostic in that moment with my program, with my food, with my, you know, emotional sobriety. So today, sometimes I go, oh, duh. God, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. You know, please remove my ego and help me to move through this situation so I can best serve you and others. Thy will be done. And it makes life so much simpler. I'm really glad today that I am now moving into not being so agnostic with everything in my life and asking my higher powers instructions, decisions, guidance. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Tamara C., it's your turn, followed by Julie P.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Missouri. I really appreciate the way Bill writes, and I feel like here he's saying, okay, here's what's coming up next, and my brain likes that, like, okay, what's coming? But when he's saying, like, oh, we're going to tell you more about your powerlessness and then the solution, my self-will is like, just get to the directions. What do I have to do? And that's still all this, like, self-reliance Tamara show. And I need to slow down and learn more, really dig into my powerlessness and the unmanageability of my life, because I have to smash that delusion that with sheer determination or the right information or self-discipline or better circumstances, I can control my eating or my thinking, my attitude, my behavior, my life. I really have to deeply admit to my innermost self that I am beyond human aid. My only defense is a spiritual solution. And then my experience with We Agnostics is that it does address for me what I think may be obstacles to me accessing that spiritual solution. I always wanted a meaningful connection to God, but my agnosticism is this, that I am responsible for making that happen. First, I need to be a better person. I need to do better. I need to find that right moral code and philosophy and live by it. And then I need to chase that relationship with God, like, read and pray and journal and do more service. And it's all Tamara driven. And involved in it is shame and fear and self-pity and anger. And I did have plenty of moments of spiritual experience, but then I would slip right back into the shame and the fear. And I was honestly doing my best, but my human resources, marshaled by my will, they were not sufficient to be my spiritual solution. And so my powerlessness over food kept growing, the unmanageability of my life kept growing, and it wasn't until God brought me to the 12 steps and the big book And that enabled me to access the spiritual help that I always craved. And first I had to give up that chase, that camera show, and learn a new design for living. And now I do have this growing sense of peace and joy and purpose because I'm not using up my energy running the show. And so I have energy and time to live a full life. And I'm so grateful for the steps. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Julie P., please share with us, followed by Debbie. And just wanted to quickly let people know, if you're just joining us, we are on page 28, that fifth paragraph that starts with, in the following chapter, through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. So after Julie and Deb share, I'll take some more names. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Julie P. I am truly a compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota, living in recovery today. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I knew I was in dire need of a meeting today. And if you're new out there, just wondering, what does this paragraph have to do with me? I remember thinking that back in 2022, how can I identify with some of these paragraphs in this book? And for this one today, I think about where I am today. It's giving us a future look at what we're going to be reading in this book. And it explains more about alcoholism. Well, I didn't need to know any more about alcoholism back then. All I know is that I'm a food addict. I can't stop eating cookies. And yes, I believed that there was something out there, some kind of power. So the next couple chapters wouldn't apply to me. I could just pass by. Well, I'm so grateful that I have learned the set-aside prayer. Help me set aside everything I think I know for a new experience. Because I needed to learn more about alcoholism, that it is me. And I need a reminder all the time that it is me. And I also needed to learn that, yes, I may have believed, but I didn't know how to put that belief into practice. And today, through two-way prayer, I have become closer to my higher power than I ever have before. And I still continue to work on building that spiritual fitness. My self-will is so strong. I have to give it up. And today I know I needed a meeting. I'm just on the backside of a family reunion and time with family for 5 days. And it was wonderful in one respect and absolutely horrible in another. And thank you, higher power. There was two tables full of desserts, and I didn't pick up, and I was able to weather the emotional storm. And without this program and that belief that I've been working on, that would have never been possible. Thank you all for saving my life again, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. Deb E., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Thanks. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. It's funny. I kept focusing on the previous paragraph because I wasn't sure which one I read, even though I heard it at the beginning, but my mind just kept going back to it. I really like those last few words, you know, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. I think, you know, the way my brain works, my default patterns are, I want to find an obstacle to anything that's going to be better for me. You know, I'll be like, oh, it's too hard. Oh, it's too much. It'll take too much time, or this or that. And there really is no, you know, or, oh, I believe this and they don't believe that. It's like they're removing all the obstacles here. They're saying, we're not going to tell you what religion to believe in. You don't even have to believe in any religion. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about a spiritual experience. We're talking about connecting with a higher power that you choose, No one's going to force you to believe in this or that. No one's going to say you have to do it this way or that way. And in terms of like your beliefs, and it in a way that makes it easier, in a way that makes it harder, right? Because I like rules. I like to follow like instructions. And here they're giving me a lot of instructions, but they're also giving me the freedom to like choose what I want to believe in. And I feel like that mix, I respond really well to that mix where it's like, do this, 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 but you have a bit of choice in here. And I love how in this program, we all kind of bond and come together on the fact that we've all shared a spiritual experience and that it hasn't been the same experience for everybody. And that we don't get caught up in like the small talk, like what life is like outside of the room, you know, where I'm like, I meet someone and usually it's like, oh, there's some question about their profession or their personal life or their family. Like, there's some of that. I love how in this program, when I talk to somebody, we just cut right to the deep stuff. There are people I've spoken to a bunch of times in this program and I still don't know what their profession is. Some people, I don't even know what their like family life is. And it doesn't matter. And it's just so great that it doesn't matter. I like that they were able to have the foresight when they created this to go like, let's put all that aside. That's just going to complicate things. We're just here because we have this common desire to stop eating compulsively. And we have this common solution that is a spiritual one. And let's just stick with that. And I really appreciate the simplicity in that. And I'll pass with it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. And we are on page 28, talking about that fifth paragraph that starts with, in the following chapter through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. So I'll now take some names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Gloria H.
Gloria,
Gloria H. And who is that other voice?
Pearl R.
Pearl R. Very
Donna
good.
G.
Was
Donna
it Donna
B.
Donna B.
Savannah
and,
G.
Who is that, G?
Savannah. Yes.
Savannah G?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Who else would like to share? I have Gloria H., Pearl R., Donna B., Savannah G. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Go ahead, Gloria H., followed by Pearl R.
Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm obsessive compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be here today. Grateful to be on this meeting. Haven't been on this meeting, I don't know since when. But listening, you know, to others. And then I had just thought about the speaker who spoke on Sunday, and she said she was an agnostic. And I started to think, an agnostic, atheist, what is, you know, which one is which and whatever. And then I said to myself, that's their personal relationship to God, their understanding, whether they say it or not, that's their personal relationship. And that's what I have to employ in my life, that I have a personal relationship with my God. I think that my God sometimes, and I'm saying to God, are you mad at me? Are you angry with me? Why am I saying that? It's because I'm thinking he's not being the puppet that I want him to be. He's not providing me with all of the requests that I'm making. Oh, my roof is leaking and I this and that, whatever. And, you know, I was listening to a message before I got on this meeting, and it talked about, you know, the storm, that God is always there for you in the storm. And like with the apostles, if you know about that story, about when they were on the water, and he was right there for them. And so after I listened to that, the phone rings, and I needed a plumber. And he called, and I said, oh, I was just saying that God is there in the storm. He said, that's a God wink moment. And so there are God wink moments all during the day, but do I acknowledge him? Do I say thank you? Do I say, listen, thank you, God? You know, because I have a thing that I say, and it's not a good thing, because I say that I will be done. And as soon as I get up in the morning, by 12 o'clock, I tell God, I got this one, I got this one. By the time 12 o'clock at night, I'm, please, please, help me, help me, help me, you know, because that's what happens, you know. And I love that someone shared about, you know, asking about everything that you do, no matter what it is, you know, help me, God, you know, do this for me. Show me which way you want me to go. Well, when I listen to this meeting, I employ some of those methods of dealing with things by standing still and saying, what was I looking for? What am I going to do next? And God is not a God that I can give a human characteristics of being angry with me. God doesn't do that. You know, in my, you know, that's something that I do. He doesn't do that. Because if he did that, he'd be angry with me every single day or every time I did something wrong. And that's not who he is. My time is up. I put my own timer on. But I just wanted to say that, you know, it doesn't matter, agnostic, atheist, female, male, Catholic, whatever, whatever, whatever. This program is for everyone. And I'm grateful for that. This meeting doesn't need me. I need the meeting, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Gloria H. from North Carolina. Pearl R., it's your turn, followed by Donna B.
Thank you. This is Pearl R. from Arizona. For me personally, there's no such thing for me to have any kind of a 12-step program without a spiritual awakening. The 12-step program, for me personally, is all about getting to know my higher power, which is God. He's the creator of everything. I am the creation, not the creator. So for me personally, there's no such thing as me having a program. And if I think I have a 12-step program without the creator and without God, then I'm just totally delusional. It's a big, fat lie. There's no such thing. It's my own narcissist program. Only God can give me the strength that I need to resist this terrible, terrible disease. He's the only one that can keep me from being face down in the gutter. And so for me personally, and I can't pass on what I don't have. If I don't have a spiritual awakening, because that's what this program is all about getting to know God, and getting connected with the source that will give me the strength to be able to not eat those things which are making me sick and killing me every single day. He's the only life that I have. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. from Arizona. Donna B., it's your turn, followed by Savannah G.
Thank you. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A. What I like about the sentence, surprisingly enough, we find these convictions, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience, is that especially when I'm working with others, and a newcomer. The person I'm working with may have all sorts of convictions, especially in these early parts of the book. And what this tells me is that I, as a person, I don't have to come up with arguments or defenses. Like, I don't have to refute or change or address those convictions. It's okay for those convictions to coexist while working through the steps. It's not an obstacle to a spiritual experience, and it's also not my job to manufacture that spiritual experience. And this is a practice that I try to take out into the world, especially now around political convictions. And because I'm in a 12-step program where it's a community that I forget doesn't exist necessarily in the quote-unquote real world, so I can play with ideas, I can think about ideas, I can throw suggestions out, I can, you know, it's a very safe place to incubate ideas. And in the real world, what I'm finding with so much turmoil in the political space is that I don't really get to have conversations where I can incubate ideas or think out loud or have a safe place to explore what my convictions are and how those convictions can be changed by the power of God. So I appreciate reading this morning and being reminded yet again that there are safe people to have difficult conversations with that will allow me the space and the dignity to allow my higher power to transform my thinking. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Savannah G., it's your turn, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. My name is Savannah G. From Pennsylvania, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I just want to thank you for having this meeting this morning. Just really appreciative that I can jump on a meeting when I'm feeling really disturbed. I just mainly because I missed the first part of the meeting and not being able to read the paragraph along with you folks, I just want to identify in as a compulsive overeater because I was getting in my head and obsessing, and I switch and I do this, and I hate when I do this, but I switch out obsession, like food obsession, for another obsession, you know, that can be just as detrimental to me and my well-being. I just wanted to share that, and just I guess I'm really in a mode of trying to get in a mode of gratitude so that because I don't know for sure, but I know people that practice gratitude. It kicks them out of the obsession. They're the obsession part of the mental part. So I'm just trying to find gratitude. And one of the main things I'm grateful for is, of course, this meeting and just OAs as a whole, that this program is available. Because it has done so much for me, and it really has given me a new design for living, and I've seen good things really happen, but I can over easily forget those things when my obsession mind takes over, and it says that the only thing that will satisfy me is to compulsively eat, when that's a lie. That's a big fat lie, because my emotions are disturbed. It always goes back to my emotions, you know, if somehow they are getting jumbled up, and I'm getting uncomfortable emotions, and, you know, they're just all crossed, you know, just a bunch of confusion. But it sparks the obsession for me in my head, and I have to remind myself that, you know, I need to use the tools. And it didn't help that I wasn't able to get on the 7 o'clock meeting this morning like I normally do. You know, I just had some disruptions over the weekend and just one thing after another, and I wasn't able to get on the meetings that I normally get on. And it makes a difference. I have to tell you, mentally, it really makes a difference. So I again just want to really express my gratitude for recovery, the program, and all of you guys that are on the meeting that made this meeting possible to pass.
Thank you so much, Savannah G. from Pennsylvania. And we are on page 28, talking about the fifth paragraph in the following chapter, through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. So I'd like to take some more names now of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Teresa P. from California.
Teresa P.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. I have room for a couple more names.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's go with that. Teresa P., Barbara A., and Jordan L. Go ahead, Teresa. Please share with us.
Hi, I'm Teresa P., recovered compulsive overeater from California, and I'm so grateful to be on this wonderful meeting and being out walking, and you know, what a wonderful, great day. And I love every paragraph in the big book because it tells me the truth that works. And so I love this paragraph too, is this, that spiritual experience and how do you get it? And, you know, and I was always God, you know, but church, and there are all instructions, you know, years and years of, you know, 9 years of, you know, training and you know, in the church and doing all this stuff, you know. It didn't help the compulsive overeating. When I was on my knees begging, I mean, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Please help me. Save me from this. This is killing me. And it was literally killing me. I was a walking dead for years. Suicidal. That's pretty easy. Going to church. You know, reading from the pulpit and wanting to be dead. You know, it's really sad. But, you know, that's where this disease took me. And the good news is, you know, by the grace of God and the program of Overeaters Anonymous, you know, I just get to have a whole new wonderful life. And one of the things I got to let go of was thinking I knew anything, really anything about God. And you know, I don't have to figure God out. And of course, that's impossible, but that is where my mind takes me. So I really love it. Like, it's really simple. You know, there is a God and it's not me. You know, and then it just doesn't matter. My job is just to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do now? And God's that voice that's still voice inside of me. And now he lets me know. And sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't. And, you know, just but I keep, and sometimes I don't know. You know, I don't really hear anything. I never really hear anything. I never got any straight messages from God. No voice or anything like that. But, you know, that's just, it's that feeling inside. But what I get to do is I look at what the book says. Well, you know, when you don't get, you know, direct information, you just take the next, you know, the next step and see what happens. And I get to do that a lot, too. And I get to do it with a lot of restless, irritable discontent sometimes and lots of fear. And I just get to keep doing the 10 steps, 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12. And, you know, life unfolds. You know, and I just get to get through it with a lot of, you know, there's pain in life, and it's the fear, and there's resentments. But I have a way, I got the design for living now that works and love going, and it truly does. Had a really difficult couple of years here since COVID hit. Wasn't just COVID, that was the easy part. It's all this other stuff that's hitting. And, you know, the mental, the physical issues for both myself and my husband. And nothing resolved easily. But, you know, I get to remember God's in charge. And what I get to do is just day by day, sometimes, thank you. I mean, moment by moment, I just get to turn it over. And what helps me do that is steps 10, 11, and 12. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Teresa P. from California. Barbara A., it's your turn to share, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. So grateful to have this meeting this morning. I was listening and thought, thinking to myself, oh, I have to share my spiritual experiences. Then I said to myself, yeah, what I need to do is remember my spiritual experiences because I've heard it on this meeting, I'm a fast forgetter. And this past week, I've been feeling blue and sad. I've been going to meetings, reaching out to my fellows, and then remembering that all I have to do is say, higher power, who like a God, please take away the way I'm feeling. Direct my actions, my thoughts. What's the next thing to do? That works for me. That gets me out of that, oh, I'm sad, oh, I'm, you know, reflecting on myself. But that, to me, is a spiritual experience when I can say, please, take me out of the way I'm feeling, and it disappears. Asking for that help. And, yeah, I listened Sunday to the Vision Special Edition, and I wasn't full of judgment. I was like, that's how her program works for her. This is how my program works for me. And I love what people have said. I have the choice I have a higher power of my own understanding that guides me daily, that I go to, that I have a conversation with, like I've heard, that I ask questions, that I say, is this the path I should take? It's not about me making the decisions. It's not up to me. And thanking God for the littlest things. Thank you, God, for not letting me drop that and breaking it and hitting my toe. Thank you, God, for another beautiful day. Thank you for giving me enough milk so I don't have to go to the store. I'm just bringing God into every thankful moment. That's what has brought me to where I am today, which is recovered from this compulsive eating, from going to food, because I was so uncomfortable that I didn't know what to do, that I didn't know who to turn to. So grateful today to have this meeting and all who make it possible. My next step is to assist in that in any way I can. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara A. from California. Jordan L., we have time for a two-minute share.
Okay, thanks. Good morning. Thank you for moderating. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So it talks about the chapter with an explanation of alcoholism, which is the next chapter after this, which strikes me that it talks, this paragraph talks about that, because the next chapter, the entire thing is dedicated to the idea that we have no human defense against this. The only possible the way out that's being offered here is a spiritual experience, and what it's saying here is that's available to anyone and everyone, right? Whether you believe or you don't believe. I mean, personally, when I came in, I didn't want to believe. I was definitely not, that's not what I was signing up for. But I was hopeless. I'd come to the conclusion that I couldn't solve this eating disorder thing on my own. No matter what I did, no matter the food plan or the diet plan or the people I hung out with or the people I didn't hang out with or isolating myself or not isolating myself, it wasn't happening. I couldn't solve this on my own. That type of hopelessness is what made me willing to consider all of this, willing to consider this spiritual experience. And if there's one thing I know for sure after being here for a little while and practicing this for a little while, it's that this only works when it's freely given and freely received. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. And to everyone who shared, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service in my past.